Well, walk a few hundred yards into the woods around Durham, Connecticut, and you'll see something that looks like it's out of Mad Max. Large trucks, big wheels, giant robotic arms, grabbing trees and slicing them down. This controlled chaos is a calculated timber harvest with the long-term goal of creating a more resilient forest. Patrick Scahill from Here and Now contributor WNPR reports.
Months of planning has led to this.
People generally don't appreciate the way it looks right now. In a few years, it will look very different, so they might have a different appreciation.
Lindsay Sir is with the Connecticut Forest and Parks Association and we're at Field Forest, about 25 miles south of Hartford. And after a lot of time spent marking trees and planting cuts, trees are falling, leaving behind piles of logs and branches and stumps. It's messy.
People are like, well, the forest will do it itself. Why are we in here wreaking havoc on the forest?
Eventually, this forest would regenerate itself, but forester Eric Hansen says the cutback he and his crew are doing speeds up that process, removing trees that otherwise would rot and die on their own.
For the most part, what we're trying to do here is a thinning of the overstory.
As we walk deeper into the woods, Hansen says it's important loggers create openings that essentially let the forest breathe, giving trees space to open up their crowns and giving the forest floor more opportunity to absorb light. Hansen says the key word is diversity.
So if you look up, you can see that there is probably, you know, maybe about a quarter acre opening in the canopy here. So it's going to encourage what we would call moderately shade-tolerant to shade-tolerant species to come back. So in this particular case, that means sugar maple, that means ash, that probably means red maple.
Hansen points to the ground, and the little seedlings are there, popping up, and because of the cut, now bathed in light.
Yeah, this stuff will be able to, what we call, become established with the additional sunlight and start to become the next generation of this forest.
Hansen says loggers created about 10 or so openings of this size. Jared Bellows is one of those loggers. He points out a large trail of brush and slash that he's left behind as trees fell.
We do that deliberately so that if water does drain down it, it gets kind of mixed up with that brush and it slows the water down so it doesn't carry the sediment with it.
Deeper in the woods, a big machine called a forwarder stacks piles of logs. Some of them will get shipped overseas. Forester Eric Hansen points to one tree that's not for sale. It's a sickly-looking ash tree that's fallen victim to the emerald ash borer, or EAB. Now the tree-killing pest has attracted the interest of a woodpecker.
I mean, you can see some of this light-colored stuff on this side of the this fork. That's a process that we call blonding, which is created by woodpeckers who are knocking off just the outside part of the bark to be able to get at the larvae of EAB, which are just underneath.
Hansen says he was out here months ago tagging trees, deciding which ones to cut. This ash tree was alive and well then, which shows just how dire the situation is for ash trees in the U.S. Since its discovery in 2002, emerald ash borer has spread to 28 states, moving as far west as Colorado. Still, as Hansen recounts biological and chemical efforts to combat EAB and keep ash trees alive, he's trying to stay optimistic.
It's not a foregone conclusion that we are absolutely going to lose all of our ash.
Especially, Hansen says, the generation of seedlings lining the forest floor that can now get a little bit more sunlight as loggers work to open up the woods. For Here and Now, I'm Patrick Scahill.